Hey, pop punk enthusiasts, welcome back to another episode of Pop Punk Promo Podcast. My name is Sydney and I am the host of this incredible music podcast. If you're new here, hey, what's up? Welcome to the Pop Punk Promo family. I am so glad that you stumbled across our little podcast today. Here at Pop Punk Promo, we take pride in uplifting badass small artists and really cool, talented women in rock. So if you love finding new artists before they become famous, if you love flexing that you were at that front row show of the small little nightclub show that an artist did when they first began, this is absolutely the podcast for you, because you will be lucky enough to find all these artists before they become super famous. With the nature of our podcast interviewing small artists, you get a deep dive into what it's like to be a small and up-and-coming artist. And with 90% of our efforts being focused on badass women and members of the LGBTQIA+ community, you get a really unique experience and you get to hear about a side of the rock industry that is often overlooked because it is so incredibly male dominated. So I'm really excited that you're here with us today. If this is your first time listening, thanks for taking a chance on us. It really means the world, and I hope you find your brand new favorite artist. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and all over social media at Pop Punk Promo everywhere. Also, give us 5 stars on Spotify as well. This really ensures that we know you love the content we're providing, and it also ups our chances of being shown on the homepage of other pop punk enthusiasts. So again, please rate us 5 stars. It really helps us out because we are still a small business here and we are still looking to get our name out there and get out the names of all these incredible small artists. So anything you do helps. If you rate us 5 stars, if you give us a follow, or if you even give us a little donation through Spotify for Podcasters, that helps as well. It can be as little as 99 cents a month, and all of that money gets funneled right back into the creation of Pop Punk Promo. So whether you've been here one day or you've been here for the last year and a half, thank you so much for everything you guys do for our show. We really wouldn't be here without you guys listening and sharing our show. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. You guys are amazing. Anything and everything you could possibly want to look for about Pop Punk Promo can be found at our website, poppunkpromo.com. We have an entire featured artist archive that displays every artist we have ever interviewed on the show. We have links to the direct episodes. We have links to their music, all of that good stuff. So head on over to poppunkpromo.com. We've got a ton of good stuff there, including a link to our merch store if you are interested in getting a t-shirt, some stickers, all that good jazz. And we'll probably have other merch items available for sale in the near future. I'm not sure yet, but if you guys have cool ideas for stuff you'd like to see as merch, please shoot me a DM on Instagram at poppunkpromo or shoot me an email at poppunkpromo@gmail.com and let me know your ideas. I'm open to anything. As recurring listeners know, we do a news segment before we dive into our featured artist interview every single episode. So I'm going to give you a little sneak peek on this week's interview. I have been teasing this interview on social media ever since I booked it, and I am just so excited to share this with you guys. So this week, our featured artist is Cassidy Pope. So if you guys have been in the scene for a long time, she was originally the singer of Hey Monday, and she was on The Voice. She won The Voice. She dabbled in country for a while, and now she's back in pop punk. And I am so stoked to have her on the show. Now, although Pop Punk Promo is usually a space where we promote small artists, it is also a space where we promote strong, badass women, and Cassidy Pope is absolutely one of the strongest, most badass women that I have ever met and have the privilege of calling my friend as well. So I am so stoked to share this with you guys, and we will get to the amazing interview very shortly. But first, we are going to dive into our Pop Punk news segment and share with you guys a little bit of what's going on in the pop punk scene right now. So without further ado, let's get into some pop punk news. Let's dive into our news segment this week. Oddly enough, I don't have that much news for you guys, but I still have just a little bit if you're willing to give me the time before we jump into our super, super exciting featured artist interview with Cassidy Pope. So first thing on my list here is a Yellow Card European tour. This is an extension of the tour they did in the US celebrating 20 years of Ocean Avenue. So they're going to be bringing Story of the Year and This Wild Life with them to Europe. They're going to be doing this tour in the fall over the course of November. So they're going to start in Glasgow on November 12th, and they're going to finish up in Cologne, Germany on November 24th. So if you're from the UK or Europe, go hit up Yellow Card on Instagram, check out their website, see if they're coming to any of the cities near you. You don't want to miss it, you guys. I was so privileged to see Yellow Card this past summer, and they were so incredible. So it sounds like, you know, post-pandemic, they're going to be sticking around, they're going to be making music, but you never know how long that's going to last. So make sure you get out and see Yellow Card if you're able to. UK, Europe, this is for you. Next on my list here is Stand Atlantic. They are going to be doing a ton of touring this year. It's super exciting. So not only are they going to be on the Summer School Tour here in the United States with about six other bands, they are also going to be doing headline tours in Australia and UK and Europe. So they're going to be in Australia, which is their home continent, by the way. At the end of August, they have three shows, one in Melbourne, one in Sydney, and one in Brisbane. So if you're from any of those cities, make sure you go hit them up. Again, these are some of their biggest headline shows to date, and it's in their home continent. So make sure you guys go check it out if you guys are in Australia. They're going to be bringing Sly Withers and Vanna with them in Australia. I don't know anything about these openers. I'm sure they're amazing. So if anyone knows anything about them, let me know. And again, if you're in Australia, those are the two openers that are going to be there for those three shows down under. UK and Europe, you guys are next. Stand Atlantic is going to be paying you guys a visit just after their Australian shows through the month of September. So they're going to be bringing along Slowly Slowly as their support act, and they're going to be kicking things off in Leeds on September 13th and then finishing off in Cologne on September 29th. Again, if you want the full list of cities that Stand Atlantic is going to be hitting up for these headline shows, you can visit standatlantic.com. All of this touring also comes with the announcement of their brand new album, Was Here. This is going to be such a cool album. I cannot wait to hear it. I'm obsessed with everything they do, and every one of their albums just keeps getting better and better. So I'm truly excited for what this year holds for Stand Atlantic. And again, you have a pretty good shot at seeing them live this year, pretty much anywhere in the world. So United States, they're going to be on the Summer School Tour. Australia, they are going to be doing three shows down there. And then UK and Europe, they've got a round of shows with you guys as well. So make sure you get out there. If you've never seen Stand Atlantic and you want to, this is your chance. Do it, you guys. Visit standatlantic.com for more information on all of the shows they will be playing this year. United Kingdom, I've got more incredible news for you guys. Taylor Acorn is doing a show in London on May 28th. This is so soon. I cannot believe how soon she's going to be over there with you guys again. Taylor is currently on her US tour, her biggest headline tour to date, and I am so incredibly proud of her. And she gets to come over to you guys for a one-off show in London, it appears. She hasn't announced anything else yet, but who knows, maybe she's got more up her sleeve that she's not letting us know yet. But either way, London, if you've never seen Taylor before, this is your chance to see her live. She is such an incredible performer, one of the best live performers I've ever seen. So you're not going to want to miss this chance to see Taylor Acorn on May 28th in London. Next piece of news I have for you guys comes from the queen herself, Scene Queen. She is releasing her debut album on June 28th titled Hot Singles in Your Area. If you guys have not seen the announcement for this yet, go to Scene Queen's page right now on Instagram. Go look at the cover art. It's insane, you guys. It is very Y2K, silly, goofy. Very explicit, by the way. So if you are under 18, I personally, for legal reasons, do not recommend you listen to this album. However, if you are 18 plus, go ahead. This is awesome. I am so incredibly excited about Scene Queen's new album. It embodies her absolutely perfectly. It is the entire essence of her being. So I am so excited to hear the full thing. A couple of the songs have already been released, and the full track list is available for us. We just obviously don't know what they sound like yet. So I cannot wait for June 28th to come. It needs to come sooner so I can hear this incredible album. She's got pre-saves available right now on Spotify, Apple Music, and you can even pre-order a physical copy as well. She's got vinyls, she's got matching merch to go with it, she's got t-shirts, and she's even got a swimsuit top, which I'm not gonna lie, guys, I totally got that along with my vinyl, and it is so cute. So make sure you go check it out on Hopeless Records. She's got all of that available right there. Last piece of news I have for you guys is actually a song that came out last week that I missed. So I am so mad that I didn't talk to you guys about this last week because it's amazing. So one of our Pop Punk Promo alums, Heather Catherine, has a brand new song out called My Tragic Life. Now, she talked about this briefly during our interview, and it's just awesome, you guys. I literally cannot believe how talented she is. Her voice is absolutely killer. The lyrics are insane. And she even calls out shitty men in the song, which, you know, we are all about here at Pop Punk Promo. We stan badass women, and we will not let no shitty man take us down. And that's exactly what this song is about. So, Heather Catherine, thank you so much for an incredible brand new song. It is awesome. I can't stop listening to it. So everyone go over to Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you stream your music, and go check out Heather Catherine's brand new song, My Tragic Life. Like I said, guys, this week's news segment was short and sweet, and we are going to move on to the moment you all have been waiting for. We have an exclusive interview with Cassidy Pope herself. You guys, this is so awesome, and I'm truly still pinching myself because I can't believe that it happened. And I've actually had the incredible opportunity to work closely with Cassidy over the last couple of weeks, and it has been so much fun. She is such a genuine human, and we are so lucky to have her in our corner of the pop punk world. It is so awesome. So without further ado, guys, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome Cassidy Pope onto the show today. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into Pop Punk Promo. I am here today with a very special guest. I'm here with Cassidy Pope. How are you doing today, Cass?
I'm good, other than my little computer snafu. We're up and running. We're good.
It's all right. Sometimes we have to use a good old trusty, you know, dinosaur. That's all
I don't, we gotta do. I'm glad it even turned on. So we're up and running, thankfully.
Well, it seems like it's working fine, so we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Well, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with me today.
Of course.
It means so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So those of you probably have seen a little bit. I've been working with Cassidy behind the scenes on something very special. We can't talk about it yet, but it's coming soon. It's coming so soon. You guys are going to love it. So mm-hmm. I thought it would be super fun to have Cassidy on today and answer some of your guys' questions and some of my questions as well. So thank you for joining today, Cassidy.
Of course.
Do you want to start by kind of, it's so hard doing this because I'm so used to interviewing people who aren't super well known. So let's just start from the beginning. Like, tell us about Hey Monday, how originally it started, what it was like kind of during your career during that time.
Yeah. I was 15 when I started like my band. At the time it was called Blake, but it was me and my guitar player, Mike Gentile, with three other members that were sort of like put together by my managers at the time. So it was a band, but it didn't really feel like a band. And we went to a music conference, handed a demo to this A&R at Columbia Records. And this was like fast forward a couple of years. I was 17 at this point, handed my demo to an A&R, and he wanted to like come check us out. So he came to Florida to see our show. Eventually he flew us to New York City to showcase for Columbia Records in their offices. And it was very crazy. They had it like a little stage in this dark room, and you know, no one was really standing like close to the stage. They were all sort of shadows in the back of the room. And I didn't know this. Yeah. I didn't know this at the time, but it was like the label president came and the head of marketing and all these like big wigs, you know, and I'm just rocking out, acting like crazy on stage in front of no crowd, essentially. and then eventually they were like, we want to sign you. We want to do this. But they felt like the band was sort of like separated. You know, it was me and Mike, mm-hmm. my guitar player, and then these other three musicians who, again, were put in the band. And we were like, we feel that way too, actually. So we're going to kick them out and, and then bring in some other guys. So we ended up bringing in Alex Lipshaw, who I went to high school with in Wellington, Florida. Our drummer is Elliot James, who was in another local band in West Palm, who I had seen, you know, well, we didn't go to the same school, but I had seen in the rock scene in West Palm. So we asked him to be in the band and he said yes. And we were just finding it hard to find a bass player. So we asked our new managers about, you know, do you know any bass players maybe in New York where the offices are? And they had an intern at the time who we ended up calling Jersey, who they thought, you know, would fit in great. And sure enough, he did. So we ended up like making the album, more so me and Mike in New York City, you know, writing and recording the record. Because the rest of the guys kind of came in a little later, but we went on tour pretty quickly. I was 18, like going on a world tour with Fall Out Boy, which was nuts. And
that's insane.
Yeah. So it happened really, really fast. And it was a very, it was an unusual story on how we got discovered and signed and on tour so fast. It was just very unusual.
Yeah, it's very strange considering like Hey Monday was only really active for like what, like 3 years?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I was born in 2000, which is hilarious. So I missed a lot of the like early 2000 stuff and I started discovering it later. In my like high school years. So like I was 15 in 2015 and whatever, you know, you know how it goes. So like I started discovering stuff later and, you know, I knew of Hey Monday for a while, but like, I never really realized how short lived it actually was, which is so crazy because like how that's insane that you become like, you're like touring with one of the biggest pop punk bands of that time, so fast. That's insane.
Yeah, and we weren't even like underground for a long time either. I feel like sometimes people are grinding it out for, you know, 10 years before they get a record deal. We literally, you know, we formed the band Blake and we were playing around Florida a bit for maybe a year or so and went to this conference and it was just like right away we got scooped up. And so I feel like that was also our downfall when things started to kind of fizzle out. It was like we didn't start grassroots from the ground up, you know, with like taking a really long time and not having a major label telling us what to do. Like we just dove right in and, you know, we weren't going to say no. We were like, yes to everything. Yeah. So it was a very crazy experience.
Yeah. Cause I imagine like from a young age, you probably, were you wanting, was that like what you wanted to do with your life was be a musician? So
Yeah. I started singing at 4 years old, and it was like, I think soon after that, seeing these like singers on TV, like Mariah Carey, and it just like, I was seeing them singing for their career, and it sort of clicked at a very young age that that could be a thing. And so I never had a different, you know, path or anything.
Yeah. That's so crazy. So I imagine, yeah, you get this attention from like the record label, and like you get a deal, and you're like, holy shit, we're going on tour with Fall Out Boy. Like that had to have felt absolutely crazy at the time. Like, and do you still look back and think like that was insane?
Yeah, I do. And I look back on a lot of things and don't remember them too. Like when people send me pictures, or when, you know, when I've reconnected with the Hey Monday guys and they talk about memories they have of things, I'm just like, how do you remember that? I don't remember doing that. I think it was just one of those like very, when it's surreal, it's like, it's in your memory, but it takes somebody to kind of remind you of it without, you can't think of things on your own. And I really do think like, since we were part of a major label, when we would go and do certain things and we would travel the world, we didn't exactly get to explore. You know, we were doing all these interviews. We were meeting with Columbia Japan and doing a whole different record for Japan, and just like crazy things that kept us busy and were really just amazing experiences. But I feel like it kind of made me not remember much.
That's so devastating. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people don't think about either, you know, like, especially because you were just like fresh, basically an adult at that point. Like you were 17, 18, whatever, like that takes a toll on you, like doing all of that crazy stuff. And like, that's
yeah.
Crazy.
That's yeah. So crazy. I was like, we would be out. I mean, tours like this still exist, but they're fewer and far between. We would be out on the road for like 3 months straight, four months straight. And then we would come home for like a couple of weeks and then go back out. And every year around Christmas time, I would just fall ill. It was like my body was like, I give up. You have abused me. I'm done. Oh. So now, and I feel like now people, especially myself, we're like, listen, if we've got to be out longer than a month, like it's got to be a really like easy situation, because I know what happens when I'm out that long and I am playing five shows in a row or six shows in a row. Yeah. Like, it's just not worth it. We've kind of learned what the body can take at this point.
Yeah. And I've always thought that was absolutely insane. People announce like world tours and all you see is just this massive list of like 50 cities, and you're like going out there for like 3 months. I'm like, how on earth do people do that? How do you maintain relationships doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it takes a lot of work.
That's got to be so crazy. So yeah, I feel like that's something we should phase out as a society, like expecting artists to just tour for ever and ever and ever. It's like everyone's a person, you know, and people forget that sometimes. So
yeah, and I think too, like what's it required of being on tour is different now. I feel like people could play a show and it, like, slip away to their bus and not, you know, do meet and greets or not sign up merch. And now it's sort of expected because we have shared so much and people know what our day to day looks like on tour even. So like people are like, I know you're just going and like watching a movie when you could be hanging out with us. And so, you know, to go on tour for that long and do like, if you're headlining, you do a VIP meet and greet before the show even, and you play some acoustic songs and then you play the show and then you do meet and greet after. And it's like, you know, it's a crazy day. And to do that for months on end is pretty, it's hard.
And I think about that a lot because a band that I adore so much with my heart is Water Parks, and they are the champions of just never fucking stopping. And I sit here and I wonder, I'm like, how are you guys, like, they literally meet like 100 people a night and they tour like sometimes like 3 months in a row. Like, I'm pretty sure last year they almost never stopped touring. It was insane. And it's like, there comes like a level of like entitlement from the fans. And I think that
it's a little fucked up. Like, it's like, why yeah. do you think that just because they're your favorite band or they're famous that they owe you their time? You know what I mean? It's yeah. it's crazy. So yeah it's kind of nice to hear like a perspective from another, like a musician saying like, guys, this is crazy. It's hard, because it is. And a lot of yeah. people can realize that, you know?
Yeah. And I take that into account. Like, I don't just say, you know, to my agent, like, oh, I think 4 shows in a row max is good. Like, I say that because I'm thinking about the before and after the show too. I'm saying that because mm-hmm. I know I am going to go to merch every night and I'm going to meet as many people as I can. And my voice is going to get tired. Like the talking, people don't realize as a singer, the talking over music and, you know, trying to hear people over music. It's like, that's the hardest on your voice, not the singing. So, yeah. you know. You got to yeah. take all of it into account. So,
yeah. And yeah. I guess so. I just saw Set It Off a couple nights ago, actually. And Cody Carson literally pretty much always does vocal rest during like meet and greets. And he waves, he says hi, he like kind of signs stuff, but he never really speaks because he wants to make sure that his voice is like there for the show, which I appreciate actually. Like a lot of people, yeah, like, oh, he didn't talk, but it's like, he still wants to see your face, say hello, and like listen to what you have to say, because that's kind of what the meet and greet's for. You
At least
know?
He's like, doing it. Yeah, he could just be like, I don't do meet and greets because I can't talk before the show. You know?
Right, exactly. And I think that shows a really good level of self-care. And I think a lot of musicians need to like do stuff like that, because a lot of people push themselves, like music or not, a lot of people push themselves further than they should be, you know? And
yeah, and they end up having to cancel stuff, which you never want to do, but
yeah,
that's just like, not spread ourselves so thin so we don't have to cancel stuff, because that sucks too. People make arrangements and travel for your shows, and it's like, you got to take care of yourself for sure. Like, cancel if you have to, but mm-hmm. let's try and not have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess thinking about all of that, like, is that kind of what ended up like breaking Hey Monday so quickly? Was it just like the toll it took on you guys as a whole, like the constant touring, the constant like attention, stuff like that?
You mean like breaking up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a lot of things, you know. I mean, I think at the toward the end, a lot of changes were made at the label. Our A&R, like our champion, you know, the one that controls your career, basically left. Mm-hmm. Columbia was taking a really pop, you know, spin. They were trying to really like ride the coattails of like the Kesha's and mm-hmm. the Katy Perry's and all of that. And so we were not that, obviously. Yeah. I mean, we were pop, but like not that pop. And yeah. they got a new label president who a couple of times asked if I would go solo, which is never a good sign.
Oh no.
Like, no, I'm in a band. I'm like, yeah. this is what I'm doing. So that's not good. And then we also just because of we released this EP to follow up our second record, and we wanted it to be an album, but the label cut it down to an EP. And it did relatively well, but it didn't do well enough for other bands to kind of feel like we were the band to bring out. I mean, we were on tour, like I said, constantly. And eventually we just like, we're not, our next year wasn't lined up. And that was very odd for us. And it was scary. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I was not having the most fun toward the end. There was some inner band dynamics that just were hard to navigate for me. And mm-hmm. I was getting to the point where it was like, this feels like I'm pushing like this huge thing up a mountain. Like, it's just mm-hmm. too, it's not, I don't even know what I'm fighting for anymore. And that right. when the goal stopped like being obvious to me, and I stopped having fun, and I didn't feel like we were having fun together, it just was like, to me, very obvious that I needed to leave and do my own thing. And whether that was, you know, leave for a little bit and come back to the band or leave forever, like, I just didn't know. So we said a hiatus, which I feel like we should just, I don't know, like come back and be like, hey, like, I know we said hiatus, but like we can do things here and there. We're just not probably going to like do yeah. new music again.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of reasons, you know, for, and it was my decision. I'll, you know, take the total brunt of it. Like, I just wasn't there anymore. So yeah. I left and solo.
Yeah. And if you're not happy doing something, like, sometimes you just need a change of scenery, you know, like that. And that's yeah. that's what you need. So
yeah, Yeah, for sure. I went to, I like literally changed. I moved. I went from West Palm, where I'm from, and I got in a car with my mom and we drove to LA, and I moved in with my friend who's now like a songwriter, amazing songwriter. And that was like the way that I kind of kicked off my solo thing was just, I left West Palm.
Yeah. Wow. And that takes a lot of courage though, seriously, because like, that's something that you like, you invested a good deal of time in, like, in not even just like 3 years or whatever, like it was like the whole like 3-4 years, because you were touring, you were doing this, that, the other thing, like interviews, like that's hard to walk away from. So that takes a lot of courage to do, but you did. And
thanks.
So how far after Hey Monday was The Voice? What kind of made you decide, I'm going to start this thing up again, let's do something for myself? When was that?
So I actually was approached by The Voice when I think it was like right before we released our last EP, and I was like, cool. I'm doing a band thing. I'm not doing that. So I didn't do it. And it was the second season, the one that, Lilith Czar, I forget how to say her last name.
I don't know.
Formerly Juliet Sims from Automatic Love Letter. And I feel bad that I can't say I'm blanking on the name, but she's amazing, and that was her season, and she just like annihilated everyone. It was amazing. So I'm actually really glad I didn't do it that year. But I after I left Hey Monday and I moved to LA, I was probably in LA, I want to say like a year before The Voice came back and approached me again.
Yeah.
And at that point I had tried to do the solo thing, tried to, you know, go on these acoustic tours where like 5 people would show up and 50 people would show up. And it was just really hard, and not financially. I was financially in a bad place. Yeah. So when they came back and were like, you want to try this again? We could do a scheduled audition, pop in, and then, you know, do your thing. And I was like, at that point, I just felt like I really needed it. I needed something to happen. So I did it. And that was, I think by the time I got on to like the blind audition portion where it's like filmed, and the filming happened, I think that was, I want to say January of 2012. And then, so it was probably like a year and a half after being in LA. And then I sat around for like 3 months while they were editing. And I think that was the first year that they shot 2 seasons in a year. So they shot our blind auditions, and then we took a break and we couldn't tell anybody our results or anything like that for about 3 months while they filmed the next season's blind auditions and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
Yeah, it was wild. And then eventually, probably around, I don't know, like April or May or something, that was when I went back and started doing all of the other pre-recorded stuff, and then the lives, and then we were done in December.
Wow, that's so crazy. That's a crazy story. What was the whole experience kind of like for you, and like, do you have a favorite memory from The Voice that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I was, everybody, it was funny, everybody thought that I had this like huge advantage because I had toured and I had done all of this stuff. I had a fan base, you know, and it was just like, I've never done anything harder than this. Like that was, I'd never done anything like it. You know, I don't consider myself competitive. And that was the first, you know, time where I had to kind of like get in that mindset of not being like, just kind of being competitive with myself, of like trying to be better every week. But it was really hard. The blind audition was exactly the way that they show it. You know, you walk up, they don't introduce you, it's quiet, no one cheers for you when you walk on stage, the music starts and you just start singing. And the way that it works is like, you're already sequestered in a hotel when you first get there. But then when the blind auditions happen, after rehearsals, after everything, you go to a separate hotel where they take away your devices, they take away the phones in the rooms, and you're sequestered there. And every morning you go to the ballroom where they announce who's going to be performing the next day. So there was like an A, B, C group for the blind auditions. A group went the first day. I wasn't in an A group. B group was the next day. And that was like, if you're not in the B group, you're risking being in the C group where the teams are already filled up. So yeah. I got called for the B group and I was so grateful. And then after the blind audition, it was like, yeah, they set us free for a few months. It was very weird. I got to go home. I was like, this feels wrong. I feel like I should just like, still be in it. I'm like in it.
But yeah, but yeah. That's insane. I had no, is that normal or was that just for that season?
I think it's normal. I mean, I haven't really like met many people who have been on after me, but it sounds like they're still doing that. I went back to the show last year because it was Blake's last season. So I went and performed with a bunch of like past winners and performers of like favorites of his. And it sounded like they still do the same thing and they were still all at that same hotel. And I walked in and they put us there too. I was like, the smell was just, it brought everything back. It was a good smell, but it was crazy. But yeah, I think it's still going that way.
That's crazy. I guess I've never done reality TV in any shape or form. I have no idea. So like, I love hearing behind the scenes because it always feels like, I'm like, how long did it take them to actually film a season or how long are they actually there? And like, is it actually weeks or not? You know what I mean? And I always want to know, like, when you film like a week on The Voice, is it actually a week? Like,
yeah. So especially when it's like, when it's to the live rounds. So, I'm probably going to mess up the days, but like, let's say Monday night is the live show where you do your performance. Yeah. Tuesday night is where you find out if you got through or not, but Tuesday you're also kind of like, you're practicing your the results night performances where they bring in special guests and you're still performing and doing stuff. And then when you find out literally that night, you get on your email with your coach and you're like, you start scheming about the next cover. And then Wednesday it's like you pick the cover, you start rehearsing with the band, you take the voice lessons, you do all that stuff. And then like maybe Thursday is like blocking and camera blocking and choreo and then like a fit, like wardrobe fitting. Friday is like all of that. And interview, you got to sit down, do all the interview stuff. And then it's like you also go in and you record the song for iTunes. So you go in the studio and record the song. Saturday, same thing. I think there's like a dress rehearsal. Sunday is pretty much off except for like one last wardrobe fitting. And then Monday it all starts over again. So it's
grueling. That's exhausting. Holy cow. But I hope worth it at the end. Like you ended up winning. How was that feeling? Like, what did it feel like in that moment where you just like, fuck, like how was it?
It was fuck. Yeah. It was like, what is happening? Because I'm the first to say every time, like I was for sure not the best like technical singer on my season for sure, but I think because I was really honest about like my story with my family and my story with Hey Monday and you know being in a tough spot leaving the band trying to make it happen on my own, like I think just the story also helped. And like I don't know, I also, it was very bizarre. I didn't expect to go through a whole evolution genre wise on the show. You know, I came on, like I sang Natalie Imbruglia's Torn and I sang, you know, Kelly Clarkson and Avril Lavigne and Michelle Branch. And then people kind of saw my shift back to country, which it was the genre I sang as a kid. And I just always thought country songs like lent themselves well to like Boise moments and trying to impress people. So I started doing that and it felt really good and it made sense. So like that was also another thing that I feel like people were enjoying watching of like, oh my gosh, she's like making a shift and it's like really working. And I don't know, it just felt like all of it together was a good recipe for people to just want to root for me, I guess. But I mean, I was like in a dream. It was so bizarre to win that. And to be the first female winner too was so crazy. And I remember like the confetti falling and my mom running up and like almost slipping on the confetti. And it was just chaos. It was just amazing, but chaos.
Oh, that's so fun. So your switch to kind of country was just, that was kind of formed by The Voice. And then after that, were you like, was that just it for you? Were you like, I'm going to be a country singer now? Or did part of you like during that feel like I want to still do pop punk, or kind of like, what was your thoughts?
I felt like I could do like a pop rock country thing, which I felt like I did. But looking back now, like, obviously it's country. But at the time I just felt like I was doing that. I felt like I was bringing the rock side to the country stuff. And, you know, obviously I felt like that time, and I think it's happening again, where like Nashville was just having a big moment and country music was having a big moment. Mm-hmm. Florida Georgia Line was starting to blow up and kind of become mainstream in a way. And the band Perry was starting to cross over. And I think at that point it was like, I felt like, Maybe there was a bit of sourness leaving Hey Monday and leaving the rock world, and not that it, you know, we were mistreated or anything bad happened, but like we were in sort of the major label world where we were kind of pushed around and let down. Mm-hmm. And I just had a sour taste in my mouth. So I felt like it was a great way for a fresh start. So, you know, coming to Nashville and working with all these songwriters that like worked on Taylor Swift's records and worked on Faith Hill's records, it's like the 90s pop country stuff was so my jam too. So getting to work with all those people that worked on those records was like, it felt good. It felt right. I almost went the opposite direction on purpose and was pushing away and pushing down maybe the like urge to, you know, put some punk in it. You know, I just felt, and then another thing too is like Nashville and country music is very, very aware of when people are not being authentic and when they're like just kind of pretending to be country as a stepping stone. And at the time when I came, it was like Taylor was starting to go pop. So it started to make everyone in Nashville or in country, mainly country radio, raise their eyebrows and be like, wait, is everyone trying to do this? Are we being used right now? Which is so dumb. But I felt like I had to really like prove myself as a country artist.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know. Personally, I have never really listened to country. I'm not going to lie to you. but for me, I've always loved like female country vocalists so much more than guys. I don't know what it is. I just can't do like a dude country voice, and I don't know why it is, but it's just me. Like
it's a preference, everybody.
It's a preference for sure. But yeah, it's crazy. But I don't know. Did you ever, this is just an off kind of question, but did you ever work with like Taylor Acorn during her country era or not really?
No. And I didn't even know that she had a country era until we started like hanging out and talking, and she was like, you know, like I have like kind of a similar story. And I was like, dang, I did not know. And I don't even really hear it in her voice. Like it's so funny. Right. I could hear her. Not in a way, like a negative way, but like she could do country for sure. She's amazing, but like she could do anything. But hearing it now, it's like, I don't hear a girl who's country who's trying to do pop punk, you know, it's like I hear a pop punk singer.
Exactly.
I didn't know that. I didn't work with her or anything.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Cause I was actually like viewing the parallels between both of your stories, and then you guys did like a collaboration together, and I thought it was perfect, whether it was intentional or not. You were just buds wanting to write a song together, but like it's just so interesting how that pipeline kind of worked for both of you, and now you guys are both like in pop punk at the same time now, which is so cool. But yeah, so you were on The Voice, you did all this country music for about like 10 years now, and now you're going back to pop punk. What kind of was the catalyst for that? What made you decide like, no, we're going to like leave this chapter behind. Let's start another chapter that's kind of reminiscent of old chapters, you know?
It was a slow burn, I will say. I did this record, which is kind of how I ended up meeting or talking to Taylor Acorn. But I did this record where it was like my attempt to do a pop punk country record. And it came out in 2021. It's called Thrive, and I was so excited. I thought it was going to be this like new lane in country music, and it was just And it wasn't. It did not do well. It was just, I think because I did country music for 10 years, the algorithm was really against me and wasn't putting me on any rock playlists, and I wasn't getting on any country playlists. And it was also like post-COVID times touring wise. So I did a tour to support it, which just didn't do well. And people were just still not going to shows. There were still vaccine requirements at certain venues. Yeah. So it just was like a weird time to release music. And but it was like a blessing in disguise. And to the point of the Taylor Acorn thing, I was calling that era Y'alternative, and all these people on TikTok were like, oh my gosh, you should listen to Taylor Acorn. She's doing that. And then eventually like I went and I was like, oh my gosh, hi, you're awesome.
That's amazing. So that's how that happened.
But yeah, I when that album didn't do well, and it just felt like I was really fighting leaving the genre. I had already kind of stopped listening to country music. I had already, you know, left the big machine, like major label, a couple of years prior. I had already gotten a new booking agent who was having a hard time getting me shows because it was like, people are like, they think your shows rock, but your country. So it's like been hard to pitch you. And it was also UTA. So it was like a numbers game for them. And it just, everything just felt like it just was obvious. Politics, social justice issues, all of it was just like, yeah. I feel like I am just not leaving because I'm afraid to throw away 10 years of really hard work. And that's not a good enough reason, because it's not like I'm not going to spend 10 years doing music ahead. So I might as well spend 10 more years doing what I really want to be doing. And so it all just kind of like ended up happening. I think when it really tipped over the edge for me was I went to LA. I stayed with that friend that I moved to LA with in the first place, this girl, Allie Tamposi, who's a huge songwriter. And this is like, now she's huge. So we were like writing with, you know, all these amazing other writers and producers. And the first song we wrote, it was just like, I heard myself in a way I hadn't heard myself in a long time. And it felt like it just needed to happen. It felt like the song hadn't even come out, and I was already so proud of it, you know, and that song hasn't even come out yet. So, but yeah, it just, all of it was like this kind of gradual push back to pop punk.
Yeah. That's beautiful though. Like, and honestly, I don't like the idea of boxing people into a genre. You know, it's like I understand you, there's more potential to lose like active fans doing that, but it's like, you're your own person. You get to decide who you are and who you want to be. And like, if you'd rather be experimental, like I say, you do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much, I don't know. Like, there's just so much pushing against artists who try to do different things. And it's really admirable that you just say, fuck it. Let's just go with what my gut says. Let's see what my heart says. It's really cool.
Thanks. And I feel like when artists are themselves, even when they're, you know, going between different sounds, there is that through line. Like you can hear someone's personality and essence through different sonic choices and different genres. If someone's, you know, putting on a different persona for each thing, even that's great. But like, you still get that essence, and you still get that, like, even when they're like doing interviews or when they're just like talking at meet and greets or whatever, you can tell when someone's being themselves, but they're just playing artistically. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be allowed. That shouldn't be shit on. That shouldn't be like, especially when people are doing a good job of it. Like, I know that to some people, it's like, I'm a country singer who's coming into pop punk, but like, I was there in 2008 when it was like, you know, really big.
You were there at the beginning, essentially. Like, and a lot of old school pop punk fans, like elder emos, as we love to call them, they know you. They know who you are. They know at least of your band. If they don't know your name, they know your band. And it's like, that's something that was a part of you. It still is a part of you, and you deserve to go back to it if you want to, you know, just because you left something for a while doesn't mean you can't pick it back up again.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. It feels very much like a homecoming. So I'm yeah. loving it. It's really
yeah. fun. It's awesome. And by the way, eye contact is so amazing. Your Pop Punk Resurgence single. It's fucking awesome. I can't stop listening to it. And like, we were on a video call the other night and it was like in my head and I kept forgetting that you were the one that sings it and I was talking with you and I was like, oh my God, wait, this is like, I wanted to start singing it. And I'm like, this would be hella weird right now. Like,
I mean, I would have loved it. I would have been like, yeah. Thanks,
it's Sydney. Awesome. But yeah, it's a great fucking song. I like, for your first single back, like full pop punk, beautiful. It's awesome.
Thank
it's
you.
So punchy and I love the story behind it. Do you want to kind of give us like the background behind it for people
yeah.
who don't know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically about, you know, being lied to and there was somebody from my past who was just so good at like making promises and looking directly into my eyes and making me feel like I could trust him and like he was going to follow through and do what he said he was going to do. And one day it just like switched and it became very obvious that none of those things were going to happen. And yeah. it was heartbreaking and terrible. And also like, how did he do that? That was like mm-hmm. very, very, psychotic, but like impressive, you know,
yeah,
how did you even
yeah.
do that? So, and it's not, I can maintain eye contact with people. That's not, it's just for the song, but it's just kind of more so symbolizing, you know, when somebody makes you promises now after heartbreak and after betrayal, it's hard to believe them sometimes because mm-hmm. you were let down in the past. So that's kind of, and I also like, I had some music come out last year that was like a part of that will be a part of this record, but it definitely was like easing people in, you know, it was like mm-hmm. pop, it was pop rock more so than pop punk. So this is definitely yeah. like the first song that has more of a punk edge to it.
Cool. Yeah. And honestly, I like pop rock, pop punk, like interchangeably. And I feel like they go hand in hand together, whether you call it pop punk, pop rock, they're kind of the same thing too, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think the song's awesome. And I think a lot of people will definitely relate to it. I know I definitely can relate to it. And like, I feel like you haven't lived on this earth if someone hasn't like betrayed you, which is really sad.
I know.
It's really sad, but like, unfortunately it's the world we live in. So
it
like,
is. It's been crazy to see yeah. the amount of people who were like, been there, you
yeah.
know?
And you're like, shit, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Can I help you?
Like, yeah. You're like, I'm thank you for listening. I'm sorry you can relate, you know?
Yeah. You're like, I hope no one can, but like, hey, here's yeah. my song.
Yeah. If you need help, here's the song you should listen to.
Yeah. It's awesome. But yeah, So I posted on my Instagram story a couple weeks ago when we booked this. I had a bunch of fans ask questions for you, and I got cool. a lot of questions. So
oh, sick. Okay,
we're
going
to go through some of them now, not all of them. I kind of made it – I tried to find the ones that I thought would be most interesting. So
cool.
we're going to go do Ask Cassidy Pope, all right? So here's our first question. What is your favorite Hey Monday song to perform live?
It's called Wish You Were Here. And it's a song from our EP that is called Beneath It All. And I wrote it with Matt Scannell from Vertical Horizon, which was like Ooh. A big deal for me because I love Vertical Horizon.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it was one of the first songs too that I wrote for like the new era of our stuff. And it felt like a really great place to go. And live, it just really hits and it's just really like energetic and dark and
yeah.
catchy. So I love that one.
Fun. I love that. Second question for you. What has been your favorite part of releasing these new singles into the world, or I guess rebranding yourself, I suppose?
Yeah. I mean, I think my favorite part has been re-engaging fans who kind of like fell off the radar with me, you know, they might have just like dipped out when I did The Voice or when mm-hmm. I started doing country, they're like, oh, not my thing. And now seeing them come back and even just people realizing that I sang in Hey Monday and they're like, oh, I didn't even know you were like still doing music. It's like that doesn't actually like hurt my feelings. It makes me excited because it's like, it's working, you know, it's like making people pay attention. And I think too, like my approach with all of this has been very, like, I've been the most patient with this chapter than anything before, because I know it takes time to rebrand and to transition into a different space, even though that's where I came from. So it's just like been more enjoyable than ever before.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Yeah. And I bet you come across like fans from the past too, and they're just like, oh my God, like, I'm so glad that you're like making like this type of music again. Have people like been thanking you online in a sense or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, super grateful for it.
Yeah, it's been like very validating. There's people that are like, we've been waiting for you. And so it's like, oh, it feels really good. I feel like it's just like a whole community just with open arms ready to like embrace me. So it feels awesome. Yeah.
That's so sweet. That's awesome. Yeah. Speaking kind of nostalgia, our next question, someone's wondering, is there any chance Hey Monday will see a reunion?
Currently, probably not. there's a Hey Monday show or shows at When We Were Young that I'm really excited about. We're playing the whole album, Hold On Tight, from top to bottom. Awesome. And yeah, it's just like we've all kind of got our own things going on where none of us are really trying to like do Hey Monday again. So to take time away from what we're really actively pushing to like do that feels unproductive, but excited for that Vegas show.
Yeah. So with that being said, so the When We Were Young show is going to be like a full band reunion just for the fest. Is that like my understanding?
We're working through some details. So potentially no. Potentially could just be me with maybe one other Hey Monday original member. Or it could just be me with some fun special guests who have expressed interest in playing. But all Hey Monday songs, I'm not playing any Cassidy Pope songs. It's a strict, like strict Hey Monday set.
Sick. That's awesome. Yeah. Another question in that same realm, is there going to be merch for Hey Monday?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was just talking about this the other day with my team about like taking like an old design and like redoing it in like a new way and a vintage way. Cause we had so much merch in Hot Topic and they were like random little creatures on t-shirts and that had nothing to do with the band, but it was just, we liked the way it looked, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely we're doing that.
Oh, cute. You hear that, everyone? This is your chance. You're going to get some new Hey Monday merch. Even if the band's not coming back, you can still get the nostalgia.
You can still get that piece of nostalgia. Yeah, you can walk away with something.
That's so awesome. Okay, our next question from a fan. Will there be any collaborations on your hopefully new upcoming album?
Yes, and there is an album.
Yes,
I haven't announced the date or anything, but it's coming and it's done and it's like literally uploaded into the system and everything.
Wow.
So it's coming, but there are two collaborations on the record. And I'm just going to say it because who cares? There's an amazing rapper/singer, Daisha McBride. She's local here in Nashville, but she has been touring and has just did a collaboration with Black. And she's just a badass. And I like, there's a song called Birds that she has that's how I discovered her. And I just like DM'd her on Instagram. I was like, I know this sounds weird, but would you do like a pop punk song with me where you're like rapping and maybe singing a little bit? And she said yes. And so we wrote it and it's like one of my favorites on the record. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Oh my God. That's so fun.
Yep. And the other one is Aaron Gillespie from Under Oath. We wrote a song together and he's singing on it. So it's a duet and he produced it and played on it. So yeah, love that.
Oh my God, fun. Thank you. I wasn't expecting you to name drop them. Sick. Thank you.
Exclusive.
Yeah, you guys are hearing it here first, okay? Hearing it here first. Man, I am so excited. I cannot wait. Like, I'm excited for whenever the album comes out. I'm excited to hear the collaborations, the new songs, everything. It's going to be awesome. Oh, God, hold on. But anyway, I'm very excited to hear the new album and everything that you've got coming. It will be so cool.
Thank you. I'm excited,
too. Yeah. Do you have any plans for... I know you at least were... hinting at a tour. Is there going to be some type of world tour? Are you just looking at the U.S.? What's kind of the plan?
Yeah, just looking at the U.S. for at least this year. But 2025 is my year to get the hell out of here. I want to go everywhere. I have missed international touring so much. I've done a little bit of it since, you know, when I left the genre and went country, but nothing like we did in Hey Monday, where we like went to Japan and Australia and New Zealand and, you know, Singapore and stuff like that, Brazil. Yeah. So I want to do all of that next year. It'll probably be, awesome. Will be, it takes a lot of planning and stuff. So I want to do it right. So it'll be 2025, but this year, definitely tours coming in the US.
Yes. I'm so excited. I can't wait. Yay. I love that you mentioned all those countries, because I think so specifically people were asking about the UK and Brazil. Are those two like on your list? Hopefully.
For sure. Yes.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go, guys.
I love the UK and Brazil. I haven't been to since I turned 21 in Sao Paulo. So it's got a special place in my heart.
Fun.
So I've got to get back there. Yeah.
That's so cool. Fun. Yeah. Oh my God. You're going to have the best time. And the only place I've been outside of the country is Australia and New Zealand, which is very far from home. But
you started big. Dang. I thought you were going to say like Bahamas or Mexico or something.
I started big. It's the only two places I've ever been. And it was on the same trip, like pretty obviously. But yeah. So it was, I had an incredible opportunity with my college marching band. They do like international trips like every couple of years. And this was literally like a month before COVID lockdown, we got to go, and it was incredible timing. So it was
amazing.
It was awesome. We got to like play in front of the Sydney Opera House and like do a bunch of cool shit. Like it was awesome. We got to play on like a cruise, like the cruise ship. We got to do like little shows like every couple nights. It was awesome.
Oh,
it was
dang.
So, okay. Yeah.
That must be a good jazz band. That must be a good marching band.
It's the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. So they're known for having like the second or third largest marching band in the country. So it's crazy. But yeah. So anyway, that's the only place I've been. It was really fucking cool, but the only place.
It's really fun. Those places are very fun.
Yeah. I would love to get out of the country. Like I don't know. Part of me is like, I would love to be like a tour manager or do something and just hit the road. It would be so fun. But
you'd also, be great at it. You should do it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But then there's the other part of me that's like homebody and is like, I don't know if I could leave home for that long. Like,
I hear that.
I think I could. I think my girlfriend would be really sad, and that makes me sad. So
yeah, you would definitely miss her. But it's also like you gotta, if you know it's far enough in advance where you can mentally prepare yourself, that's easier. It's the things that pop up in like a month where you're like, you might be gone for weeks. You're like, oh, it's too soon.
Yeah, you're like, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So I guess we're going to go down the list of another question. So I guess what other genres do you listen to besides rock? We know you listen to country, but are there any other like...
Not really anymore.
oops.
I know. I listen to... I love like... I have friends still that do country music. So I'm always like... I'm always rooting for and listening to like Mickey Guyton and Brittany Spencer and... Yeah, I love like there's I love Brothers Osborne. I feel like their songs are always really special. So I'm not like never listening. I'm not listening to country radio. That's not my vibe, you know.
I feel that.
Yeah. But I love rap. Like I love Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj and Cardi B.
Love Nicki Minaj, though. I grew up on that shit. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just always just very entertaining and good. I know that they have beef, but you know.
Oh, well.
We benefit from it because they're making great music.
Exactly.
I really like, I know, this is sort of like a rock adjacent thing, but I really love the sort of like band Camino 1975 vibe, like the kind of 80s nod, some synthy stuff in there, but it's a lot of just like that kind of like jingly guitar parts, and just it's very like, I don't know, it's almost like it all sparkles. It's like very pretty.
Awesome.
I love that kind of music. I love pop. You know, I listen to, I know Olivia Rodrigo's rock sort of, but
she's cool.
She's
like pop rock.
Yeah. I love everything she's doing, from the music to her message. I just think she's great. Yeah. I love Julia Michaels and Ed Sheeran. He's cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like, yeah, he's so talented, and he's like a fun hang. He's like a normal dude who just likes to drink and chill.
And he's open about it too. So
yeah.
Is,
you know what? This is a weird one that people won't expect, but I love jazz. I
love jazz too.
I love jazz. And I'm not like someone who's not super educated on like the different artists, obviously, like I know like Miles Davis and stuff, but I'm like, I'll just put on jazz when I'm cooking or when I'm doing my makeup or like driving just chill. And there's a place here in Nashville called Rudy's Jazz Room that I'll just like go to and sit there for hours and listen to these amazing musicians and have an espresso martini and just, you know, be a full on like 50-year-old lady. I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also have a soft spot for jazz too. I actually, theoretically speaking, I was a jazz musician for a little bit. I played in jazz bands in high school and middle school. And
nice.
Yeah, I've played saxophone for like 12 years of my life. So
wow.
Yeah. So I really like it. It's really cool. It's not like my go-to, but like if I hear some cool jazz playing somewhere, I'm like, hell yeah, I love it. It's awesome. So
yeah.
I love nothing more than finding like some type of classical or jazz instrument, like being played in like a rock band scenario. It's my favorite thing ever. I love seeing saxophones like as a part of like a rock song. It's so awesome.
Yeah. It makes it like epic. It's like all of a sudden.
It does.
Like this band Biffy Clyro has horns in a lot of their stuff, and it just, their stuff sounds like it's like, and it could be in a movie. It's so cinematic and huge. Yeah.
Oh, so it's cool. Awesome. And like, so not horns, but like strings, like violins. Mm. I love Yellow Card for that reason. Like,
me too.
They're fucking awesome. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
He's amazing.
We could definitely have a separate conversation about jazz sometime or just any other music. I fucking love it. But
perfect. Sick.
All right. Well, we've been sitting here for almost an hour now, so we're going to have to unfortunately wrap up the interview, but it's been so much fun talking with you, getting
too.
To know you on like a deeper level and just hearing about everything that you've been doing. And it's been super cool.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks, Sydney.
Yeah. I have one last closing question for you before we end this. So,
okay.
What advice do you have to any young woman looking to become a musician?
There's a lot, but I'll try and like keep it to one thing. I think your gut is something that is just you're told so often that it can be wrong and you should listen to so-and-so because they know more. But if your gut is telling you this isn't right, or this is right, or this is making me feel good, this is making me not feel good, that is the most powerful tool that you have. And it's the one thing that no one can take away from you if you don't let them. People will try and they'll say, you don't know what you're talking about. This is just your emotions talking. It's like, you know, deep down what's right for you. And if it turns out that it wasn't the right decision, It's because you were supposed to take a little step in whatever that direction was. It's going to mm-hmm. lead you where you're supposed to be. But your gut is something that you need to, like, if you don't know how to listen to it, take some time to just sit with yourself and really learn what that feels like. But it's so important, and it'll guide you if you really listen to it.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, I love that so much. And that means a lot coming from you, because I know that you have not had, like, the most linear path, you know, to get to where you are today. So, like, that's awesome. And I definitely, I take that kind of stuff to heart too. It's like, I have definitely ended up in, like, places where I never expected to, you know, so
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Cassidy. This has been so much fun. Thank you for spending your afternoon with me.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was fun. Yeah.
All right, pop punk enthusiasts, that was my interview with the legendary Cassidy Pope. I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. I had so much fun having Cassidy on the show, and I hope you guys learned some things about her that you maybe didn't know before. Again, I really haven't interviewed, like, relatively well-known people before, so this was definitely a new experience for me, but I had so much fun doing it. Please let me know what you thought of this interview. Let me know if there's any other relatively famous women that you want me to get on my show as well. Obviously, I love interviewing small artists on here, and that's what I'm going to keep doing mainly. But if there's ever the chance for me to get to talk to someone super legendary, I will always take the chance and bring you guys an incredible interview. So let me know what you think. I'm going to leave that question available for you down below in the description below. So make sure you go let me know your feedback on this episode. I'm still a little bit in shock. This was an awesome interview, and it was such a pleasure to have Cassidy on and spend her time with us today. If you love this episode, make sure you rate us 5 stars on Spotify, and make sure you save this to your playlist, share it with a friend that you think would also love it. All of those things really help make sure that we get shown to other pop punk enthusiasts on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Make sure you show Cassidy a ton of love on Instagram. We're going to be partnering to make a collaborative post for the announcement of this episode. So make sure you give her lots of love in those comments. Go give her a follow if you don't already follow her on Instagram at Cassidy Pope. She is just such an icon, so amazing. And again, I'm so thrilled to say that she is this week's featured artist. This is where we're going to leave you guys this week, Pop Punk Enthusiasts. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll have another episode of Pop Punk Promo available for you next week. I cannot wait to share with you guys another brand new small artist. Again, be good to yourselves and each other. Stay safe out there, and we'll catch you again in the next episode. See you later. For more information on how you can become a Pop Punk Promo featured artist, visit poppunkpromo.com.